Everyone, welcome to Ending the Drought, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast. This is Season 4, Episode 7, after a very long hiatus. Sorry about that, guys. And we are back. I am Jason Webster. This is Jake Cranston and Jeff Webster.
Gentlemans.
What's going on, Bills guys?
Buddies. Oh, my God.
Bills fans.
This is awesome. Like, you really miss this when you don't do it, by the way, people listening. It's amazing. We do talk football still, but with nothing going on, kind of like the off season of football, we kind of took a break. And now camp's open. Practice starts tomorrow. Already the Bills have been hit by the injury bug. Jake, tell them what's going on.
Oh, geez. Yeah, that was a weird thing that we got a notice on 2 days ago, was it?
Or something like that, I think.
Yeah, so Nyheim Hines done for the season.
Tore ACL or something.
Due to a ski-doo accident.
Right.
Which doesn't really sell it, by the way. When you say it's a jet ski accident, I think like, oh, he fell off. Or no, he got hit by a boat.
Right, right. So
It's not a jet ski accident. He got ran over by a boat.
Yeah, and they made a big point that he was standing still at the time.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't moving.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to look into it and watch the video. It's crazy.
Oh, there's a video. Are you serious?
There's a video.
Yeah, there's a video out there that people are posting on Twitter. Now, there is a rumor also on the video that it may not be the real video.
Oh, I see.
That is up for debate right now.
Right,
so
people
are posting it. That's what happened. Also, it may not be the right thing.
Yet, which, to point out, if it's not the right video, that kind of makes sense because the dude who got hit by that boat looked like he got more than a knee injury.
Right, I was going to say,
he looked pretty messed up.
He looked like he should have been dead on that. I mean, the boat literally jumped over him and hit him and it was like, boing.
He kind of like tilted to the side before it hit.
Right.
So you could see how the leg would get, it'd get destroyed.
So, well, be that as it may.
Either way, bad.
He's gone for the year.
Yeah, that's it. Kind of sucks in retrospect. I mean, I think what happened was when we signed him, people were kind of like iffy about it anyway. But
I think so.
What happened, I think, is after the DeMar Hamlin thing, we came back home to the Patriots, and when he returned that opening kick, there was like an immediate connection to that moment and to him because he was part of that moment.
Right.
So, I think that in general just kind of makes people feel like, ah, man, like he had that time, that point in time when everything was real emotional and he kind of let that out of everybody.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But when you think about schematically as a football team now and you're putting him in the mix and then take him out of the mix, it doesn't look like it's a huge drop that's going to make a big impact that we have guys that can fill in. So,
outside of special teams, he had 13 touches. That's the reality.
Right.
Of last year, and none of those made a tremendous impact on play. Like, he didn't have any touchdowns. I don't think there was anything spectacular about any of it. In fact, James Cook had a better catch rate than he did. So, all in all, we talked about this a little bit. Like, if it had to happen to somebody, like, thank God it wasn't Stephon Diggs, Josh Allen, Matt Milano. I mean, you name a half a dozen or more guys that you really don't want to see have that happen to that are more key components of the team.
Yeah, which, you put the disclaimer on that obviously it sucks.
Person, I feel horrible for
that. But from a statistical standpoint, it could have been a lot
worse.
He's
a young guy, and with the way they're doing things surgically and stuff like this, I have all the belief in the world he'll be back better than ever, but it's going to be a year or more down the road.
It's a young guy whose career is up for risk now, so
it's rough.
But
you're gonna see guys just get hurt before shit even starts. Like Kadarius Toney, he had a knee for the Chiefs.
He just missed
the
practice.
He had a procedure to clean up some stuff in his knee. Well, he screwed the knee up somehow,
tweaking it
during catching punts. He's gonna miss the whole preseason, basically. Camp, all that stuff. They're thinking he'll be ready to go week one, but. Yeah, it's just the name of the game, man.
Yeah. It's a dangerous sport, and even though this was not football related,
it could happen on the field too.
For sure. And the Bills may not be we're out of the woods. No, I mean, we haven't even had their first practice yet, real practice. So the potential is there that they could suffer another injury or two. Last year they had a couple of them. Tommy Doyle went down, obviously, Micah Hyde. Von Miller, during the season. So, you're never out of the woods. It can strike at any time, but hopefully he recovers fully. He's back playing football within a year or two, and you know, none the worse for the wear.
Right. Yep. Right. And what the question is kind of floating around right now is, what do we do with him right at this point? Are we going to, you know, void his contract because of what he did? You know, he's not supposed to be technically on a jet ski.
Which, correct, that's, from what I've been reading, is a real concern. Yeah. I mean, it's happened before that players have done something that's outside the legality of their contract, and it has a lot to do with the insurance money.
Yep.
Yeah. If you do that kind of shit, the insurance companies are going to charge way more.
And it's just another...
They can't have people doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just another type of BS that it's just, you know, another distraction, so to speak, in a way. Like, right, it's not just right, like, oh, he blew his knee out on the field and he's done. It's like, okay, all right, so what legality is going to happen with this? And, you know, it can kind of be a weird distraction.
Yeah, and it sounds like there's options. Like, right, straighten out, like, a claim he voided his contract by doing something he wasn't supposed to do and just cutting him. And then he will appeal that with, I'm sure, the Players Association, and they'll probably negotiate a settlement of some sort. But then he's off the team.
Right.
You brought up the possibility that maybe they could do some sort of an injury thing, lessen his salary down like a veteran minimum or something, but still keep him under contract for years down, you know.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, I guess we'll find out probably in the upcoming weeks what way they're going to go.
I would assume they're probably just going to settle them out, and that's that.
Save the $2.5 million on the cap, maybe.
I would think so. I mean, they're going to fill the roster spot up anyway.
Well, speaking of that, I wanted to ask you this, and I think I heard on the radio where they brought it up that it sounds like they are going to sign that running back.
Right.
I can't remember his name offhand, Darrington Evans or something like that.
Yes, something like that, yep.
So it sounds like they're going to sign him, but there's a spot for a running back.
Mm-hmm.
But it also sounds like they may sign the tight end from Green Bay.
Sternberger.
Sternberger.
Yep.
But as far as we know, there isn't an injury or technically room for him. So it makes me wonder, is it something they think he could actually provide an upgrade over one of the other tight ends in the room, possibly? I mean, obviously not Dawson Knox or Dalton Kincaid. They're rock solid starters as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
But beyond that, well, they got Quentin Morris.
I think
who's been on the squad for a couple of years now.
Well, the Bills are obviously notorious. They want to bring in guys to compete, right? So
absolutely,
you know, right now on the roster you have Knox, Kincaid, Quentin Morris, Nick Gugamos, and Joel Wiskin.
I'm not familiar with them dudes
or Wilson. So I think it's just another guy that you want to kind of bring in the mix, see what he can do to push maybe Quentin Morris. Obviously, if he did make the squad, I think he's more of a guy that would be probably special teams. Maybe he's, you know, good in the special team area where they would need, you know, some help, coverage downfield, what have you. I don't know. But well, it's just another spot for competition. I don't think he'll be pushing really for that third roster spot. I would think he would have to really impress to knock
right,
Quentin Morris out of the
way. That's why they brought him in, because he got injured, like, I think as a rookie, played a full season, very unimpressive, only had 100 and some yards, a few catches or whatever. And then he went to the XFL. He got cut, bounced around to a couple of teams, and then he was, like, really good in the XFL. I think he had, like, 6 touchdowns, 500 and some yards. They play a pretty abbreviated schedule, maybe 10-12 games or something like that.
Right.
Maybe not that many, but so I think, as Brandon Bean will often do, the potential is there enough to, like, we want to see him on the field.
Yeah.
Like, we want to see him during training camp. We want to see what he looks like. Maybe he will be fighting for a roster spot or a spot on the practice squad or whatever. But most people will tell you, like, their dream is the NFL, not the XFL, not the CFL. Their dream is to play in the NFL.
For sure.
So if you get an opportunity, what you got, bro?
I just want to throw an audible in there right there. Herbert just came across. Herbert reaches a 5-year, $262 million deal with the Chargers.
Wow.
$262 million.
Yeah, that's like $4 million more than Josh Allen got.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good size chunk for
him. I wonder
for
how
him.
Much guaranteed, because that's going to be the big part, right?
It wasn't long ago that we had this conversation, by the way, about this new cap point for quarterbacks. There's like a certain entry point that's been set now, And right. any of these guys who are in the top 10 are going to get massive contracts going forward.
Well, there's,
yeah, they wanted to lock them up, obviously. Yeah.
Well, they had an interview with the GM and the owner of the Cincinnati Bengals. And the owner, I guess, is known throughout the league as being a little bit of a tightwad. But
yeah.
he literally said they probably won't be able to keep Burrow, Chase, and T. Higgins.
Did you hear how he put it, though? He goes, you got
a
bunch of hogs and you throw them some feed. Not right. all of them are going to be able to eat.
Yeah. Yeah. I did hear, you know, you start spreading them out in the different bags for the hogs and then
not all
you
of
know,
them.
There's not going to be enough feed for everybody.
Yeah. yeah. And it's just like, dude.
And he said something to the effect of, and we want to make sure we have enough feed for our biggest hog or something like for Joe Burrow. You know
sometimes,
what I mean?
Like, sometimes a hamster's got to eat its kids, you know, and it's just what happens.
Right. Yeah, it's like, all right, dude, like the analogy's like a little off tilter here. I don't know.
Well, the weird thing is, I think, if I remember, T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd's contracts are up this year.
Right.
So this is their last season under contract. So
it's paid Joe Burrow and then fit in the rest, man.
Right.
Because he's going to,
and Jamar Chase, like those two have changed the team significantly.
Yeah, and that's going to be tough because if you just paid Herbert $262 million. I mean, he's reached the playoffs.
Oh, Burrow's going to want like twice and hasn't done anything.
Yeah, it's going to be high. It's going to be up there.
But a lot of it's going to be guaranteed again because Deshaun Watson, fucking the Cleveland Browns, as they often do, kind of fucked the whole league by giving him a completely guaranteed contract.
Yeah, that really.
I mean, every player, Jalen Ramsey, I think it was one of them, saying every contract should be 100% guaranteed.
Right.
It's like, that's never going to happen, man.
Yeah.
Isn't it wild that Josh is probably looking at this like, oh, I should have gotten more money when he was such a fucking blowout for a contract at the time?
Well, he's probably also thinking that he's not that far away. I think we got him through like 27?
6 years. That happened a
couple years ago.
2 years ago, right?
So, yeah, so, probably 26, 27.
Right.
He's probably going to be thinking that'll be my big contract.
Yeah.
$300 million or something.
It's just, it's weird because it always happens like this. You know, like, remember Kirk Cousins got that? He was the highest paid quarterback for like a day.
Right.
You know
what I mean? Yeah.
For like a day.
Sure. Yeah. Like Stafford, I think, was that. Stafford was the highest paid quarterback for like a month or two.
Yeah.
Like that always happens. That's the way it works, man.
It is. Like, look at the contract difference between Trey White and Jalen Ramsey.
Right.
Like, holy shit. I mean, at the time before Trey got hurt and shit, he was talked about as the top three corners or maybe even the best corner.
Right.
And he got his contract. And then they go and sign Jalen Ramsey,
a ridiculous contract.
The Rams, and he was getting paid, I can't remember off the top of my head, but it was significantly higher than Trey. And then the Rams trade him a year and a half later anyway.
Right.
So I'm curious, since I was a wee little baby back then. In the 90s when we had Jim Kelly, do you have any idea what kind of contract he got?
Well, it's funny because at the time, I remember them talking about him making like $100,000 a game. And it's like, well, 16 games, that's less than $2 million.
Which back then was insane.
It was probably really, really good money. And that's, you know what I mean?
I think his base salary maybe have been like $3, $4 million, dude.
Right.
It was just tiny. Yeah, it was just...
But at the time, it was good money. I mean, he didn't complain.
No.
Yeah.
You know?
But it's not even close, man. Like, the contracts in sports just in general now.
Yeah, in 30 years. Where are they going to be in another 30 years? $1 billion contracts or $2 billion contracts?
Maybe.
Well, it just depends what the league makes, man, because this league is just pounding money out like crazy.
Dude, they are, like, printing their own money now. Like,
it's nuts.
Insane.
But it's not just the NFL. Like, I just was talking to you guys today. Jaylen Brown from the Celtics got paid a Supermax deal. It was like 5 years.
$304 million.
Yeah, $60 million a year, bro, for a basketball player.
Right. And people were freaking when Josh got like, 45 or 48 or something?
Yeah.
You know, like.
Because if you look at the difference in the sports, right? So the NBA, they're playing 82 games, but. Compared to the NFL, like these guys are busted heads, man. Like it's a totally different type of sport as far as putting your body on the line.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yep. And these NBA guys are getting paid, you know, 50, 60 mil.
And that still pales in comparison to the NBA or MLB.
Yeah, right. Look at people like Shaq, right? Their bodies are not built to take that kind of abuse. He put his body on the line for way too long. He had a lot of knee issues, a lot of injuries, but he's still jacked. The dude's right. still working out every day, living a good right. life, playing golf. Oh, yeah. Like, there are a lot of NFL players that don't live to see the age Shaq's at.
That's true.
I mean, yeah, or just true. Able to do the certain things that NBA players could do either, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, it is amazing Often, so. That guys like Bruce Smith, you know, that's a tough position, edge rush. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's lineman. Lineman, man, it's like you're pushing on a car every fucking play. Like
yeah.
You're trying yep. to push a car over.
Yeah.
Yeah, forget it, man.
And then the sponsorship deals, too, are crazy. Like, these NBA players are, like I was talking to Jason about this today, about the whole Air movie and how
oh, yeah.
Jordan's shoes are now worth $4 billion in sales
right.
for Nike. LeBron per comes
year.
In.
Yeah.
Per year, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He makes 400 mil off of that per right. year. That's just shoes, dude. And then LeBron comes into the league, doesn't even sign a contract yet with the Cavs, and Nike already offers him an unprecedented $100 million contract.
Right.
As an 18-year-old. You know, you don't,
only
you,
because
you don't,
they know once he's in the league, it's going to cost him twice that.
Right, and you don't see that in the NFL.
Right.
These guys don't have shoe deals.
No.
You know, they have to fight for sponsorships.
Do,
to, you know,
insurance
I mean?
Companies, right?
Like, yeah.
Like State Crazy. Farm.
mm-hmm. It's State weird. Farm. It's really weird, isn't it? Because, like, you see, at least in this generation, there's a lot of swanky dudes in the NFL. Even on our team, we've got a lot of guys who are pretty fly. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I'm oh, surprised yeah. that they don't get more clothing deals and things like that. Like, I
some
guess,
of them do.
I guess the NBA probably locked that shit up long ago. They don't. I bet you they don't lose a lot of their sponsorships.
Right.
Yeah, it's a different swag they bring to the culture, right?
Yeah, yeah, and when it comes to basketball, the shoes are everything, right? Yep. Like, I mean, yeah. they're on the hardwood, it's all about the shoes, where in football, it's about the football. Like, you know, I mean, it's not really about the jersey or the shorts yeah. or the shoes, or they do the thing with the shoes where they usually once a year they'll raise money by doing different patterns and stuff on the shoes, that kind of thing, which is
yeah.
very cool.
Yep.
But it's that there's not one particular item that really is
well, and I've seen
the league.
I've seen know? Players in the NFL, they'll take off their shoes and throw them to a fan or something on occasion.
Oh, yeah,
but
for
that
sure.
happens, I'm guessing, a million times more in basketball.
Oh, I guarantee it.
Yeah, and the shoes really drive what basketball is to kids. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
like if you go out and, oh, I, you know, like when I was a kid, I would want to get the new Jordans that came out that year.
Yep.
You know, now, you know, it was like the new Kobe's or the new LeBrons. And that really drives what kids view.
Peer pressure kind of a mm-hmm. thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you got like normal sneakers. You must be a poor kid, you know, or whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
Man, it's different. Like, you're not, you know, you don't go into school and you're not showing off your Josh Allen jersey would like a pair of Jordans, right?
Yep.
It's just different.
Yeah.
You know,
for sure.
Kids will wear it, but it's not in the same type of,
yeah.
you know,
right.
aspect,
especially since you think about it, Jordan's in Chicago for most of his career.
Yeah.
But in Buffalo, it matters.
Right.
Like, Josh Allen matters in Buffalo, but probably in Chicago, most people don't give a shit. Like, if you're showing off a Josh Allen jersey in Chicago, they're like, yeah, whatever.
Maybe. I mean, I get what you're saying.
No, some people,
there's,
I
there's
think
a difference,
would.
For sure. There's a big difference in the type of fan.
Right.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's just, it's weird the way it's grown. I wouldn't say weird, but it's almost unfathomable to think about the jump, you know, in 30 years, like where these athletes are now. And it's not just basketball. It's not just baseball, you know, football. You know, I mean, you're getting guys in soccer now Messi. He signed with Miami, the soccer league here in the States. He signed this like ginormous, like $300-something million deal, like for soccer. You know,
well,
it's like,
funny because
FIFA.
I mean, I don't know if you guys have looked into it, but they're like the mafia of sports.
Oh yeah, they are the global leader of sports.
Yeah, they're
fucking
doubt.
Insane.
They're
insane.
Everywhere, man.
And when you're the premier, the best soccer player in the world,
Europe,
you get a
South
lot of
America,
clout.
Yeah,
the United States, Canada, like around the world,
yeah,
everybody knows soccer.
We just don't. Here in the States, we give it's like shit to us. We don't,
right?
Nobody cares.
And it is getting bigger. There are people who care about the, you
yes,
because we've
right.
made it to a championship
right.
recently, which is a huge thing.
Yep.
So,
but it's funny. I remember NASCAR, you know, like the guys in NASCAR get they get a lot of money to do what they do. But I remember the announcers like Darrell Waltrip and old guys going, yeah, we could barely make enough money to keep our cars running.
Yeah.
You know, and here these guys have like fucking multiple trailers or hauling cars around and they're living in campers that are fucking nicer than most people's homes and shit like that. Like,
right.
They're just breaking tons of cash.
Oh, yeah. When the sponsorship deals in NASCAR like just blew up like an insane after pretty much like, you know, the mid-90s, you know, Dale Earnhardt Sr.,
STP,
those type of guys, you know, kind of started going away.
Yep.
And then, like, Earnhardt Jr. and
Jimmy Johnson.
Kozlowski and all those guys, Jimmy Johnson, right. And, you know, the big Pepsi deal for
Jeff Gordon.
And, yeah, dude. Yeah, like, so the sponsorship just went through the roof, and those guys were banking money.
Yeah, and they're, like, filling fucking racetracks with 100,000-plus people. Yeah. Yeah, every week, like
more than crazy. That, dude.
Yeah, more than that.
You're talking like 300,000.
Yeah,
and anyone who does this, I'm not trying to shit on you, but like, do you remember the people that used to collect the NASCAR plates and hang them on their wall and shit?
Oh yeah.
I don't know if that's a thing anymore. I really hope not. But when I was a kid, it was just befuddling. I could not understand,
dude. When I was a kid, they had the little mini plates.
Yeah, mini plates.
You could collect all the mini plates,
which even makes a little more sense because at least doesn't take up a huge amount of space. Like there were entire walls covered in that shit.
Oh yeah.
What's the dumbest things you guys? I wouldn't say the dumbest, but just kind of like the
strangest, or
like for me, it was shot glasses. Everywhere
as a collectible.
Everywhere I went, so it didn't matter if it was like, you know, if I stop somewhere in PA, I'd find a place to grab a shot glass or you know, Florida or Vegas or wherever I went.
So what you wanted to collect and either did or did not.
So you're saying the dumbest thing you ever personally collected? Is that what you're asking?
Right.
Yeah, like, just kind of like the like no nonsense, like wall, like kind just kind of like what? It doesn't make any sense, really. You don't do any like me. I have all these shot glasses that aren't even displayed at anywhere. They're all packed away in something.
I try to do that, but I don't go anywhere. So I don't. Yeah. I have like a half dozen. Yeah,
you've never really been like a, you know, a collectible person.
No, I did try to do playing cards.
Cards, yeah.
Because you can get playing cards just about every venue you go to, the Niagara Falls or whatever. They have a playing card. But again, I don't have a collection. Like,
right.
I collected as a small child and through my teens, baseball cards, football cards, stuff like that. And
which
a shit ton of them.
Which now that you mention that, that's probably my dumbest collectible was the Batman Tim Burton film, the cards from it.
Oh yeah.
That each card was like a little scene out of the movie or a little quote out of the movie. And like that was a dumb thing to collect, man. Fucking dumb.
Well, but you had worse stuff than that. Like we have the Warner Brothers cartoon characters.
Well, but even like the Looney Tunes stills. At least Looney Tunes. It's somebody actually drew that. You know, there's a little art signature on a lot of them. Like, you know, the fucking it's literally screenshots of a movie. Like, what do I need a playing card that for?
That's true.
And they're never going to be valuable,
right? We had Desert Storm, Desert Shield cards from back in the day.
You know? Well, I recently started collecting when this whole sports memorabilia thing started really hitting in like 2020. That's what I really started, like, it really excited me because it was so hard to get anything with a signature from a player. It was the hardest thing in the world. You just never get it. You'd be lucky if you got something maybe on eBay, but you're paying out the ass. If you went maybe to camp, you'd be lucky if you got a signature. But, like, now the sports memorabilia thing is, like, boom. And I was like, dude, how cool. And you and I, Jeff, were just on Pristine Auction the other day for, like, we're talking back and forth, like, oh, there's a Kyle Williams jersey. Oh, there's
which I immediately got outbid for because I would love to have an autographed Kyle Williams
Joe
jersey.
Joe Flacco.
You know, and it's funny because over the course of the last couple of decades, I almost think that Kyle Williams would be probably one of my top two or three players.
Love Kyle Williams.
To play for the Bills.
I still need to get a jersey. And
same here.
I don't have one. So, but yeah, the sports memorabilia world is really neat right now.
It is. It's very cool. And anybody can do it. Like, it's not, you know, anybody listening, it's not like it's going to cost you $500-$600. Like, you can get an autographed jersey from any Bills player
Jim Kelly
playing. Yeah,
Hall of Famer for $50.
Yeah, $1,500.
Which, you know, there's a big disclaimer on this, right? And this is a hot take for all you people out there who are thinking that this is still the 80s and 90s. The things you are buying, these jerseys, they're very likely going to be worth nothing. So if you want it because you think it's cool and you want to put it on your wall, That's totally fine. But you're not investing in a valuable collectible the way you once were. Don't think that these signed mini helmets are going to be worth a flying fuck in 5 years.
Right.
Yeah.
They're going to be worth nothing.
They're they're more for your collection, right?
Yep.
Now, if you come across something rare that so happen to get cheap, like let's say like a Babe Ruth signed baseball or Mickey Mantle or something.
Right.
Now,
right.
something like that. It's going to be worth some fucking money, but
well,
like
in the age of the collectible, if it's from that time period, it'll always be collectible.
Right. Yes.
But anything from 2012 maybe and beyond sometimes, is losing a lot of value.
Right.
Yeah, sometimes it will take a jump. For example, if you were able to get a Josh Allen jersey right now for say $300, they win a Super Bowl, he gets an MVP. Immediately, if you want to turn it over, you'll probably double your money. Right. Like, immediately, people will pay a shit ton of money for that.
That's it,
yeah. But the following year after that, it's going to be less. And then a couple of years down the road, it's going to be back to what you probably originally paid.
Right.
Then maybe goes into Hall of Fame. Boom, now it takes a big jump. But then within a year or two, so over the long haul, you're making an investment in something that you love your team and you want to show it off and talk about the fact that you have it.
It is possible that it will be a very pleasant surprise. Just don't look at it as an investment opportunity.
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah.
It's truly
especially because, like Jake said, it's a very monetized thing now. There are people pumping this shit out like crazy, knowing it won't be valuable in the future.
Yep. Yeah, and these guys, too, like Josh Allen, because of what it is, like there's all these different companies like TSE and there's the
Beckett,
there's just different companies that are holding these signings so often now that these players know their worth. So, like, Josh Allen's signature, just his signature on anything is $350 plus whatever that memorabilia would cost in retrospect.
Like
jersey's the cheapest. Then you get into helmets, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, guys like Josh Allen, his signature is already going to be $350.
Right.
Period. You know, period. That's it. And then obviously guys like Pat Mahomes that have MVPs and, you know, Super Bowl wins. He's going to be more blah, blah, blah.
Like 500 or something, probably.
Yeah. As far as investments go, you might want to say, like, Dalton Kincaid could be a generational talent. If I get his autograph now, it's probably fairly cheap. And maybe 5 years from now or 10 years, once he's a success, it'll be worth a lot. Yeah, maybe. But it's a huge risk. Yeah,
There are very few people who bought Yahoo before it became Yahoo. You know what I mean?
Like, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, who the fuck knew? You know what I mean?
Yep.
And if you somehow pull that off, congrats.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough because like Jim Kelly, Thurman Thomas, those guys are Hall of Famers.
Right.
But the thing is, you're talking 30-something years down the road now, right?
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
So you're able to get a Hall of Famer signature much cheaper than you would Josh Allen or a big star currently.
Yeah.
So it's like it sounds like it's backwards, but it's just not because you're paying for the relevancy of who's playing now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep. And even though it was 30 years ago, when they went into the hall, there's probably the most value they had on their signature. But that's obviously dissipated over a long period of time. So,
Yep.
So, yeah. So, man, we covered that, man. We covered training camp a little bit, talked about memorabilia a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys want to move on to another topic of sorts.
Yeah.
I
do.
I mean,
so I got something in mind. So we're going to do a thing. It's called Riddle Me This, and it's basically going to be a few questions. There's a pretty long list here. I'm going to ask a few at random. We're going to save some for next week. Maybe do this a couple times until we get bored of it. And so I'm going to ask you guys some questions, and I just want to hear your opinions on them.
Okay.
So for one, is McDermott being on a hot seat a real thing, or should it be?
So, yeah, I don't know how many people are touched by this as we are, because it actually, at work, we've had this conversation a few times now. Varying opinions on where the Bills are versus where they should be. Like, you know, everybody knows Kansas City stories. Mahomes starts in 18. Now they got two Super Bowls. They've been to, like, three, like, you know, how come the Bills haven't been able to get over the hump? We haven't even seen a single Super Bowl, even though it's only the coach's sixth year, I believe, this year.
Well, and there's 32 teams in the league. Not many people can make it to a Super Bowl.
Correct. Like,
it takes time.
So where I come from, in my opinion, after suffering 17 complete seasons without a playoff berth and having five of the 6 years that he's been there, I think it's five, right? Playoff appearances.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not really ready to turn the page on that. I'll give him several seasons of making the playoffs and not getting to a Super Bowl before I'm ready to make that move.
No.
Absolutely.
Right.
Like, well, our history has always been just get a new coach, turn it over. And it hasn't.
And it always was the same thing with quarterbacks and everything else.
Yeah, but, and it hasn't done shit for us.
So assuming that, you know, we're not to that point yet, Jake, what do you think? There still has to be accountability. Do you think that there's anything on McDermott's shoulders he needs to take responsibility for? And what do you think we've done to already do that?
Well, I think, honestly, with McDermott right now, he's kind of transitioned into a different phase this year than what he's been in the last, you know, 4 years or 5 years without Leslie Frazier. So there's going to be a little more on his shoulders to run this defense. And I guess also, as a head coach, there's going to be a little more on his shoulders to not have a little bit of those bumps in the road, so to speak, where, you know, calling maybe bad timeouts when he shouldn't, choosing whether to go for it on fourth down or kick the field goal. There's been some sketchy, you know, areas within some of these games. Sure. Where he was being questioned about these type of scenarios, right?
Right.
So I think just kind of him cleaning certain things up a little better, relying on, you know, the coaching staff to do their job. But to me, I think McDermott has done overall a fantastic job. And being on the hot seat right now is more to me that it's more of the fans' perspective, not right, have anything to right. do with the organization's.
Yeah, like the ownership might not be interested in even. I mean, they just extended him 2 years. So obviously ownership is going, yeah, keep it going, dude. We're
yeah,
good.
It's,
we're
yeah,
and that's set. And that's really what it's about, right? It's a lot of people who are frustrated and they don't know where to point it. And it's sometimes very easy. It's an analogy I've always used, is that you blame the goalie. You know what I mean?
Right.
It doesn't matter yeah. how many people fucked up all game long. It's that one shot at the end.
Yeah. Right.
Just, it seems to be our playoff story. It's that one big fuck up that everyone looks at. And I think, unfortunately, this one just happened to be pointed more at Sean McDermott than anybody yeah. else.
Yep.
Or maybe Josh also, but he gets a pretty easy pass sometimes. You right. know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it, you know?
And I've said this before, Scott Norwood, wide right? I think it was like a 47-yard field goal attempt. They could have made it a 30. If the team had done a little bit more.
Correct.
Maybe it would have been a chip shot field goal instead of a 47-yarder, not impossible to make, and on average a very makeable kick, but it didn't have to be. Like, right? Like, I mean, it could have been an
or
easier kick.
It could have been never even down to that at all.
Correct.
You know what
I mean?
And how many did he make before that? You know, like, it's
correct. Yeah. So yeah, you're right. Everybody's looking to get to the Super Bowl, and when we don't make it, they got a point a finger somewhere, and the coach is like the guy, right? Like, I mean, he's the buck stops here guy. So yeah, good point. Yeah.
And now there certainly is more pressure on him. So we'll see how, you know, he handles it when he's not only in charge of the big picture moments, but in charge of the every play of the game on defense.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. So next question. Now that the defense looks healthy, the Bills have added a slew of upgrades through free agency and the draft. Why are the Bills being devalued over last year? Now, we've seen some pretty good projections for the Bills lately, but a lot of people are still shitting all over us. So why do you think that is?
Yeah, I mean, my perspective is a few factors. One, obviously, the way it ended last year. We didn't look great in the playoffs against Miami or, obviously, against the Bengals. So there's, you know, a lot of critics out there thinking that, you know, it's just we don't have it right now. And, you know, maybe we're on a downward trend. Yeah, the Stephon Diggs crap happening. Just kind of a lot of negative noise on us towards the end of the season. So there's that. Plus, you know, when you look at what the team has done over the last 5 years, yes, we've built up. But the problem that we've obviously had over those 5 years were glaring issues. One of them was the run defense, losing games badly that we should win. And then the strength of the conference, you know, you added Aaron Rodgers to the, you know, AFC East. Miami's gotten a little stronger.
Jalen Ramsey
to that, you know, to the Dolphins, Baltimore Ravens have gotten better. You know, it's just, there's a lot of, really solid teams right now in this conference. So when you kind of pile all that up together, you know, there's fans that just right now feel like we have too many bumps in the road that maybe we can't get over, you know?
Right.
And it's the same old Buffalo Bills, right? And I think that's kind of where it's at. On paper, we're better than we were last year. We have a better roster. We didn't lose anything worse than our middle linebacker and Tremaine Edmonds. You know, some people think that the defense is actually better, even with his loss, than the guys we added in the draft. You know, so the upside is there, you know, especially within Buffalo with us fans here. It's just the national media doesn't believe it right now, which I'm fine with.
Well, right, and we've talked about that too. Like, the Bills had all the pressure last year because prior to freaking training camp, they were being billed as the, you know, would-be Super Bowl team. They're going to go to the Super Bowl. Like, they're the favorite. And that adds a lot of pressure. Now, throughout the season, they lost 3 games by a total of 8 points. So they were fantastic. But like you said, come playoff time, didn't look sharp. But as Jason has pointed out many times to me, that whole DeMar Hamlin scenario changed that team dramatically. The emotional impact that had was nightmarish. You know, you could see it on their faces the day it happened. And even after that, the way they talked, the way they carried themselves, it was always in the forefront. It was not about how did practice go. It's like, hey, DeMar was there today. Like, you know what I mean? He came to practice. He came to a game. He's feeling better. He's looking good. But that carried the topic of conversation, not unlike the Stephon Diggs drama or non-drama, whatever it is, because we don't still truly know what it was all about, is still being talked about.
Yeah, and for sure, the DeMar Hamlin thing, I think it's also difficult because you're in a sports environment where people don't want to talk about feelings an awful lot. Right. Not to mention, you don't want the team to look weak in general. Correct. You don't want to be the team that maybe lost a playoff game because they were having depression. You know what I mean? Right. That's a weird look in a sports industry where it's supposed to be all fun and games and, you know, hard guys smashing into each other all the time. It's not a good look. But now that you pointed that out, you both mentioned Stephon Diggs. What is the deal? What do we know? What do you guys think? Where are we at now with Stephon?
I personally think that there may have been something there. I don't think it was ever huge. I think Diggs, in my opinion, wears his heart on his sleeve. Like, we've talked about this many times, that after the AFC Championship loss, he's on the field by himself to the point where freaking Sean McDermott has to come and bring him off the field because that's how devastated. The man has one thing in his brain, and I don't give a fuck what anybody tells you. In my opinion, he just wants to fucking win. Like, and he wants to be a part of that. He feels like he's that key piece to get that team over the top. Not the only piece, but a big part of it. And he wants to make sure that everybody's aware of that, and he doesn't ever want to take a back seat because he's the guy. They always talk about, you know, you want a player who, when the game's on the line, they want the ball in their hands. That's fucking Stephon Diggs. Like, he is a huge piece of this puzzle, and he wants to make sure that he stays that way.
Well, and also, I think there was a commonality between him and Josh. They were right. A pair. It didn't work without the other. And I think he feels like maybe people forget that a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't always look that way now.
And I think part of that whole DeMar Hamlin played into it too, because everybody remembers seeing him on the sideline kind of going off on Josh, I think basically trying to tell him to get the ball up, like throw it with some confidence. I'll catch it. Like, I'll bring it down. Just get it to me in the air. I'll win the battle, man. I'll get it there. And Josh just didn't have the confidence or the willpower, whatever. It just seemed like he was just off. So, but I don't think it was ever, I think that was just Diggs showing his frustration at being there again and not getting it done.
And he had, I think, certainly a right to be angry at Josh in that instance.
For sure.
But with, you know, the benefit of looking at it from the future, we understand everything that they went through. And I think that hopefully he's past that now. I mean, you'd think that by now he would just be looking forward again.
That's, well, I think,
like Jake mentioned earlier, our team has been plagued with so many, you know, backsliding issues that were not related to football. You know, and I don't want to say that what happened with DeMar hurt our team. I mean, it sucks, but that it's kind of the truth. Like, I think it's hard to argue otherwise.
Right, for sure.
You know, everything with fault of his, it was just everything else.
Yeah, it was just fate. Nothing to do with DeMar Hamlin. He's not responsible for anything. It's not his fault that anything happened, but it did happen, and it did take some wind out of the team. And Josh Allen has said it every time they make a playoff loss, is like, I won't think about anything else until next year.
Right.
And I think that's what happened with Diggs. He's been thinking about this for months and months and months, and it's been eating at him. And he had something to say, and it came out at training camp, at the mini camp. And I think Sean McDermott just forgot who he was maybe for a minute when he said what he said about being really concerned, like very concerned or whatever he said. I don't think he meant it to come out the way it did. I think it was just like he was feeling frustration, maybe because maybe he was part of that, maybe he was targeted along with Josh, and maybe he was talking about Dorsey, maybe Diggs was pissed at Dorsey and wanted to get it off his shoulders and just get it off his chest, spill it, this is what's going on. And Sean McDermott was frustrated, a little overreacted. And now they've had a chance to kind of settle down. They've talked about it. Everybody's on the same page. We all have the same goal, blah, blah, blah. And I think it'll be fine. I really do. People are now talking like, oh, will he show up for training camp or will he not?
He's there.
He's like a fucking professional, man.
He's already there. See, right. He showed up. Like,
yeah.
There's pictures.
Well,
and him and Josh have been talking, I guess, fairly regularly. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, dude, honestly, the DeMar Hamlin thing was the straw that broke the camel's back, dude.
Absolutely.
That was the last straw that just broke this team, because don't forget, guys, I mean, Kim Pegula had cardiac arrest and nobody knew what happened.
Yeah.
All we knew was she was in the hospital in serious condition.
Yep.
And that created a big black cloud over the organization.
For sure.
Really did, because people loved her in this organization as the, you know, vice president of football operations. She was phenomenal. And when she
just
was
a good person overall,
it just created this huge cloud. And then that cloud rained down all the shit that we had throughout the season, the injuries, the snowstorms, just all the bullshit. And it just kept piling up and piling up. And I'm not a guy that, you know, wants to sit here and make excuses. And yeah, you know, there's Bills fans. Well, I'm tired of excuses. Blah,
that's
blah.
That's kind of like a tagline, right?
I want
like,
results.
And like, oh, I don't want to make excuses. Like, well, but sometimes they fucking exist.
It's just, they're not excuses. They're real events that that plague a problem on people's lives. And when that happens, no matter if you're a superstar athlete or you're Joe Schmo that works at the hardware store in a little town, shit happens to you. It fucks your life up, right?
Yep.
And that's what happens. So.
It really is something that I think someday it'll make a very cool story when we're far removed from
it. Right.
But the idea of, you know, the city kind of being at a height that it hadn't seen in a long time, as far as growth, as far as popularity, as far as happiness. And then we get hit by this fucking thing with Top Shooting and with DeMar Hamlin.
Right.
And you talk about a test.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You like, talk about a fucking test of a group of people.
Right.
Like, they will be talking about this for years to come about, you know, did we come back from that? You know, we're going to see that story play out this year. Will this city be able to be what it was in 2021? You know what I mean? Like, where are we going now?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's all about coming back. You know, like, I always think about when Katrina just destroyed New Orleans and Drew Brees and Sean Payton just were brand new for that organization.
Right.
And they're able to finally come back and play in the Superdome after playing like all their shit on home games and shit on the road and everything, right? Yep. And they come back and
I think they played in Houston, like or something like
and
that.
And it's just like that's a devastating thing, man. Like
for sure.
You know, like Drew Brees, I remember him talking about driving around and just getting into these neighborhoods and it's just destroyed.
But it was almost like a weekly event. Because then beyond that, they can't fly back into Buffalo because there's a fucking winter storm and their vehicles are buried at the stadium. So then they get back and they can't fucking go home.
And half the people wanted to stay behind anyway and check on DeMar after what happened. Like,
right. Like, it was like one event after another. It was just a really difficult time, the whole thing.
Especially
when Diggs, like I said, like you said, Diggs wanted to stay at the hospital with DeMar. Like, he was affected really bad. Well, yeah. So was Trey White.
It carried over to Stephon Diggs, obviously.
Absolutely. Top to bottom, man. I mean, you had people like fucking Skip Bayless and shit talking about like how this was, you know, all about football. And it's like, we have to have some fucking humanity after the year we've had. Like, we have to think beyond that a little bit. And I think if we say that as human beings, we have to care more about these people as who they are rather than just a cog in the machine of football, then how can you blame Josh for doing that too?
Like, that's a funny thing.
This whole thing reminded us that he is a human being. Stephon Diggs is a human being. Sean McDermott's a human being. They need a pass 1 year. This is the year to give it to him.
And I don't remember who it was. I think it was like a lineman who was doing an interview, and he's like, dude, I wake up in the morning and I put my fucking socks and pants on just like everybody else.
Yep.
And there's days I get up in the morning and the last thing I want to fucking do is go and practice in 90 or 95 degree heat, you know? But, like, I got to do it. Like, you got to trudge on. You got to keep going. But I'm just like everybody else, man. When I'm sick, I fucking throw up. You know what I mean? Like, I'm no different. When my nose runs, I got to blow it. I'm not some super fucking, you know, godlike person.
Yeah.
I got to deal with this shit every day. Well, I got kids. I got a wife. Yeah. I got a family. You know
what I mean?
The NFL
puts these guys on a pedestal so high, though, that they try to portray them as superheroes. And that's where the falsehood comes into a lot of this, right?
Right. You know,
and these guys, they do make freaking millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Well, for sure. So do a lot of people.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But like, what I'm saying is, like, you know, that's where fans use that as look how much money these guys are making. They shouldn't have to do this and that and this. They're millionaires, blah blah blah. And it's just like it doesn't, you can't just use that as like they're making millions of dollars. They should be superhuman, right?
Correct,
like,
right.
It just doesn't play out like that.
They shouldn't be hampered by human emotions. It's like, what?
They're not robots here. Right, you know, they're not.
Right.
They're not.
They're getting paid, right? They're getting paid that much money to be at peak physical condition, not be immune to actual mental issues and shit.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. They still
Trey
live.
Trey White
life
was
here,
devastated.
Like. Yeah.
I can't remember. I think it was Mitch Morse or something. He's literally fucking crying in his arms.
Well, and like, not to mention,
and that don't go away.
We got to include that in the year of shit too. Like, he had trouble even being able to, like, I don't know, find himself or something.
Yeah,
like what the hell was that?
I don't think he could trust his leg.
Yeah.
Some guys can't. Like, Von Miller's had this injury before. He'll probably be able to bounce back a little quicker mentally. But Trey White had never suffered a significant injury in his fucking football career.
Yeah, he was never hurt.
Going back to college.
Yeah.
So that was, like, brand new for him, and he didn't know what to think or
It's mental, man. I can kind of attest to it as a regular human being. I tore my tendon in my bicep, and that really screwed me up mentally trying to figure out my life moving forward. I run my own barbecue business, obviously.
Right.
And just trying to figure out how the fuck I'm going to be able to make that happen. That's my main income, you know?
Yep.
So going through the rehab and trying to figure out yourself, and I'm just a normal guy here. Like, you're talking like a dude that makes millions of dollars for a career, and that's a little more significant in retrospect. But yeah, dude, it's not easy to just mentally prepare yourself for something like that.
You know? It's funny because I also seen a thing like, watch out, AFCs, because fucking Aaron Rodgers, you know, like, he's going to be pissed. He's had a bad year last year. He's going to be on a mission. So you don't fucking think everybody on the Buffalo Bills is on a fucking mission?
Yeah.
You don't think Josh Allen thinks about anything else other than winning on every single fucking play he takes part in? Like,
exactly,
if you need motivation to get to a Super Bowl, you probably should be in a different sport.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
These guys are fucking motivated. And the Bills, because of the frustrations and emotions the last few years, are going to be more motivated than most, in my opinion.
Yeah,
I think they will be.
I think for me, there is more of a question mark this year than most, just because I'm really curious how the team is going to. Yeah, we've had a lot of positional changes. We've had coaching staff issues, things that we're working on, you know, obviously Josh after last year at the end of the year didn't look so hot. He's looking better now. I'm excited. I'm curious. I want to know how this is going to go. And I think that it's going to be another one of those years, fellas, like it was before, where it's not going to be the same the whole year. There's going to be ups and downs. It's going to be a roller coaster. I just hope that most of the time we're at the top.
Yeah.
Is this a 13-win year? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't really either. It's hard
to do,
there's
a lot of fucking competition out there now.
All the time, it's hard to win in the NFL.
Yeah. No, it's really hard to win in the NFL. And we have the dogs to do it. We have everything in place. It's been built to there. But it's going to come down to A, staying healthy. B, a little lady luck. Jeffrey.
Obviously, I agree, man.
That's you need luck in life.
I don't care what anybody says,
thing, man.
Right? It does matter.
The luck is a thing.
That coin toss we talked about yesterday or today or whatever. Like that coin toss goes the other way, and the Bills win the toss. They might have fucking marched down the field and scored too. I mean, shit, they could have thrown an interception and lost anyway. But at least they'd had a shot.
Yeah.
You know, they never got a shot.
You just need shit to kind of roll your way a little bit. You know, if you want to look at last year, like that was the worst luck for a fucking team in sports, I think, in almost history, guys.
And look at what we accomplished in spite of it.
Right. So it's
The one thing I will say they've been able to do year after year after year is still come back and play well. Every game and no matter what breaks go their way, and usually they're bad, they still, the following year, they come back and they're still good. And I hope that just keeps going.
Yeah. If we weren't walking uphill in an ice storm, it wouldn't be Buffalo. You know what I mean?
It's fucking been stacked against us
for 30 years.
For sure. Yeah. More and more.
We just happen to be such a good team that we're marching through it this time.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. I was also thinking, Jay, give yourself a little blurb for what you just started not too long ago, man.
Yeah, I appreciate that, man. So we've, on this podcast before, talked many times about how Jake is a very wonderful, successful small business owner with Jake and the Fat Man Barbecue. You know, his cousin owns Dilly Dally's here in Springville. You know, we've got a lot of success in the small business community. I hope that I will become part of that here soon. I have started my own laser engraving and cutting business. It's called Everything Burns Laser Company, and I'm very proud of what I've accomplished in the very small time I've been open. You know, it's a small operation. I'm not pumping out mass production or anything, but like I'm making a lot of cool home goods and cutting boards and all sorts of, you know, engraved personalized gifts for people. And if that's something that you are interested in and you're listening to the podcast, feel free to get in touch with me. I do have a Facebook. But yeah, look for me in the future.
Everything
Burns Laser Company.
Yeah, he did really awesome hats with leather patches for my barbecue business.
Oh yeah.
They are super dope. I did a really cool personal thing for me for my wife for our anniversary, for a Cranston family thing that him and I kind of came up together with, which awesome job, by the way, again, Jay, that was super cool.
Yeah, and that was the first thing that I posted on my Facebook when I made it, because it's honestly, it's so fucking awesome. Like it really came out nice. You know, it's not me, it's the machine, but it looks really good.
Yeah. Right. Well, in my opinion too, Jay,
the design obviously goes into it too.
You gotta have kind of a knack for this type of business. You definitely have that. Not everybody can just say, hey, I'm gonna start a laser company.
Yeah,
you know, and make stuff. You gotta have
the creativity behind it.
There's,
and you got to care about what you're doing.
Right.
And definitely that's there.
And I think that the thing that, you know, even I am still learning is just how much you can do with it. And that's really cool. And it's overwhelming because you want to do so many different things, but you don't know where to start.
Yeah.
Like I could do, it's the world's my oyster right now. You know, you can do coasters, you can do mirrors, you can do all sorts of different stuff, metal, wood, whatever. But yeah, so, you know, keep an eye out for me. I'll be posting more on Facebook here shortly. And as a matter of fact, as soon as we call this quits here in a minute or two, I've got something I got to work on. So it's a big part of my life now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll be obviously with my barbecue business. Him and I have a lot of cool things in play for stuff for my business. So I'll be posting a lot of that on my social. If you follow me on Jake and the Fatman Barbecue, you'll see a lot of that stuff.
They should do because if you ever see where his truck's going to be somewhere, man, take the time. We just talked about a couple of weeks ago. We were able to catch up to him, had a really, really super fucking good lunch, like super good. And I told him it was so much food, I had to break it into two meals. I just couldn't do it all.
It's barbecue. You got to have big portions, man.
Yeah, you know? Dude. Yeah, we've been so good for the money, man. It was just knocked my socks off, man. I love it.
Yeah, we've been talking about it. Like, it used to be one of those things for me where I was always trying to apply a value to what I'm spending on, like, a lunch, right? Like, if I could spend, you know, $6 to $8 on a lunch, that's where I kind of want to be. We're not in that world anymore.
Right.
And now, if I have, you know, $15 to $20 in my pocket and I want to spend it on good food, I'm my choices are getting easier because people like Jake, their prices aren't really going up much, but a lot of people's are.
Dude, get a fast food sandwich. It's $6,
and that's exactly my point.
Throw fries in it. It's $10.
Yeah, you go get a fucking meal at McDonald's. It's going to cost you $11, $12. Why wouldn't you go spend $14 to $16 on some authentic barbecue?
Right.
Like, why not?
Like, really good barbecue.
Go check out the food truck. It's around all the time here in Western New York. Good food. Yeah,
absolutely, man.
Thanks, guys. Well, welcome back again for football season. It's going to be.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun year. There's going to be a lot to talk about. We're just kind of touching the tip of the iceberg, so it's going to be fun, man.
Touching the tip. I warned you about that before.
Only of the iceberg,
that's a
Jeff.
Cold tip.
Okay, that's right.
Only of the iceberg.
It's a real cold tip.
All right. Well, as always, Jay, tell them how to listen to the podcast.
Yeah, you can find us on Facebook and all the social media at ETD Buffalo. And, you know, we host our podcast on Spotify Podcast, but you can listen to it pretty much anywhere you want to, Apple, wherever.
Yep. Everybody, thanks for listening. Go out, get your Bills gear. Make sure you get some of those signatures at camp. It's going to be just a load of fun this year. I think everybody is super excited, including me, Jason, Jeff. Got a lot of good stuff to talk about this year, and it's going to be fun, man. So
yeah, and join it. Hop on Facebook, man.
Yeah, well,
give us some info. Tell us, give us some questions.
Yeah,
whatever
and
you want.
Any
play
feedback,
a part in the podcast.
Any feedback you guys can give us would be obviously awesome. We've been doing this for, it's our fourth season. We've been doing this for years. You know, if there's anything that you think there's a gap in the Bills football podcast community, something that you want to hear, something you want to talk about, let us know, and we'll go ahead and throw it in there.
Yeah, man.
Absolutely. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We always appreciate it. And just want to end it with, where else would you rather be than right here, right now? Go Bills.
Go Bills.